Everyone.
Hello.
Welcome once more to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am, as ever, your stalwart GM Nathan, here surrounded by the excellent people of the table. Hello, excellent people around the table.
Hi, Nathan.
Hello. Hello. Excellent DM.
Please go around, introduce yourselves accordingly, starting with you.
No.
Starting with you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And I think when Checkers first signed up to be a guilder, he thought he would get to slay some monsters, you know, help some people. Never once in his life did he think that he was going to uncover an ancient, forgotten city destroyed by a sun. And that's just a really great time.
Sun and probably Ultra Giants.
Yeah,
and probably, both, somehow.
Right. And this is probably the coolest thing that he's ever done.
Well, okay. You know what? I, as GM, find that is positive feedback for me. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing.
Mm-hmm. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm David. And I play Kaskrin Brightmane, a dwarven sorcerer. And Kaskrin is suitably apprehensive
about flying
into a translucent ghost city that definitely probably should not be here. Because, like, man, what's going on? What's happening? And to my left.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am once again taking my role as Selv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk, who is aboard a skyship, looking at a ghostly city where Sunfall happened. And if there are any musically inclined listeners out there that want to put together a song called Sunfall, perhaps to the tune of Skyfall.
I would say Sunfallen also.
Oh, yeah. Sunfallen would be a good one. But I'd love to hear it. And across the table from me.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk, cleric asterisk of the Arcana domain. And Val is holding back on casting sending to her mom right now. Of like, oh my God, there's a city of spirits here. What is happening?
You might want to save those spell slots just till you get a lay of the land. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as you guys have said, well, you are at a very interesting place, both in your adventure and in the world, because you have arrived, finally, at the crater of Narhasar, a.k.a. the place where Sunfall happened, a.k.a. where one of the two suns apparently fell out of the sky, destroyed this city, and unleashed Ultra Giants, essentially ruining the world for the next several decades before they mysteriously disappeared. So,
you know,
cool, you know?
Yeah.
Just an interesting spot, I think. I think it's pretty neat. And again, just to remind you all and our listeners that this is a place that many have ventured to over the decades, and none have returned. Luckily, there's still time for you guys to not return either, and I'm really looking forward to that as GM. But last we saw our heroes after a very trippy, lightly horrifying couple of days of travel over the Deadlands, which is, again, kind of the surrounding chalk desert that is surrounding this, you have made it here. You have essentially been able to rise your skyship, the Sky Stalker, high enough up in the air to look kind of deep into the crater that is at this place, which is almost its own little mountain range in and of itself. And you have just peered deep enough to see a strange city that is entirely translucent. You see towers, you see buildings, you see more of that shimmering, almost oasis looking spot that, as you look longer, becomes small fields of different farmables, I guess. Mm-hmm. crops is probably the word I'm looking for. And most interestingly, even from here, you can see tiny specks of activity.
Hmm.
Something or many somethings are moving around down there.
I have three quick questions as we are.
Please.
Just three.
Only three. I was going to say, that's pretty good.
As we are approaching this stage, like, you know, kind of looking over this crater mountain range, looking at this thing, because I want to get a good sense of what this Narhasar looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say translucent, is it like all of the walls are themselves like translucent, or is it more like a mirage kind of thing where we can't quite tell what's happening?
So
how detailed is it?
Yeah, it is. Again, you guys are a little ways away. All the walls are transparent, but still you cannot see inside the buildings, if that makes sense.
That's I was going to ask that. Like, can you see people walking in the buildings?
Exactly.
But no, it's like layers of
precisely, yeah. So you can still see down into the crater. Unmistakably, it gets dark and white and strange down there. But you can see through this place. But at the same time, all the buildings, all the walls, that sort of thing, are still, again, not fully transparent. It's almost like a painting where you can still see, but only from you can only see from like a two-dimensional perspective, if that makes sense.
Okay. So fairly detailed.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay. And then we mentioned before the city is floating. Was the city originally floating, or is it just like in its normal place, but there, because there's a massive crater underneath it, it's just above the crater?
Yeah, it is number two. It is where ground presumably would have been if it hadn't been thrown up and created mountains and or a big crater. So it is sitting presumably at the same spot that it was, just now ghostly.
Okay. And then the city itself, it looks to be like all... like in all of its glory, correct? It doesn't look like it's ruins or anything, or anything's crumbled.
No, it looks, as you guys are looking at it, not all of it, but large swaths of it look like Agmar times three. Because as you'll remember, Agmar was a wholly new created city by the Pentarchy. They raised the city that was there previously and built their own out of magic, if rumor is to be believed. This is older. You guys know that this was a city for hundreds, if not thousands of years long before, but there's a lot of it that's very familiar.
Can we tell, like, you said this city looks familiar to us. Is it that Agmar was created in the like of Narhasar? Or, I guess, I'm really trying to figure out, is it the same layout, and would we have a general idea of where important landmarks in this city are based on our knowledge of Agmar?
That's a very interesting question. Agmar is almost like distilled Narhasar, where, again, a lot of the Pentarchy add-ons were done kind of over the centuries, and then Agmar was like, you know, when there's an interior designer who has this beautiful ancient home and they're like, well, you know, we can't really rip it all down and put it perfectly in our aesthetic, but we're going to, you know, kind of slowly replace things here and there and really make it our own. And then they get to be like, oh, we can just bulldoze this other rundown house and totally make our house in our exact aesthetic. Agmar. So to your point, there's probably a little bit of, if not exact locations, maybe similar functions, that sort of thing, that would be some overlap for sure.
A little bit of Agmar we see here.
Kaskrin is going to get the guild together, as well as the Burden and the Seeker. And he's going to hand the spyglass that he's been using over to the Seeker, because he wants them to see, like we said before, we know maybe vaguely some landmarks in the city because they're similar to Agmar. And he's going to ask the Seeker if they can find like a prison or like a holding area or maybe like a slums kind of location around here, because, you know, the reason that we are here in the Deadlands is to try to find any clues or remains of Farai Chaturanga Grumbingle, the Grung that we had in the dream.
Well, Kaskrin, why do you think they would hold him in a prison? You know, he was one of the most important leaders of the Grung at the time. They would have had him in the palace.
But weren't they holding him against his will?
Well, you can't just hold someone as important as Farai in a prison. That's ridiculous. No, we gotta find the tallest place in the city. That's gotta be where he is.
Is that where he has to be, or is that where you want him to be?
Yes. It's very important that we go there first.
And Checkers, this is something that would have stood out to everyone, but if I may make an assumption about your character, there is, right in the middle of this city, a huge, gleaming tower.
Mm-hmm.
Even in its ghostly light, it is, I mean, tens and tens of stories tall, bigger than any building probably you have ever seen in your entire life, and probably as big, if not bigger, as long as you're not measuring by a building or a monastery on top of a mountain. A huge, huge tower right in the middle of the city.
Yeah, we gotta go there first.
You know, it's good to have the Seeker survey the entire city, and then we'll make a decision.
They already made one.
While the Seeker is seeking, Val wants to not necessarily do like an insight check on it, but like maybe take a quick moment of prayer to feel the energy of the city itself. Like, has the city turned itself into an object of focus? Like, was Sunfall that type of moment, and that's why this city exists? Is it somehow a city of undead?
How about you give me either history or religion check, and they will give you different information, or potentially different information. Again, you're pretty far away, and this is it's a niche circumstance.
I think Val will go religion. They are the same bonus, but she's doing a quiet moment of prayer. Unnatural 20.
Ooh, okay. So this may not surprise you. Not a lot of this happening in the history of things. There's also not a lot of precedent for really any of this. To you, given the context, given what you're seeing, given some of your prior experiences, it is potentially ghostly in nature, but what exactly that means is pretty broad.
Okay.
So the Sky Stalker has officially crossed the mountain range, and now we're firmly into Narhasser airspace.
Like flying over the farmlands and such?
Yeah, and obviously headed towards the tallest tower in the city.
Obviously, per the Admiral Captain's order.
Yeah. Checkers is whispering in Captain Silvertooth's ear to be like, yes. Just go over there. That's fine.
But Checkers is up in the crow's nest, being uncharacteristically quiet, because he's trying a couple different things to see if any of them work, basically, now that we're in this new space. So the first thing he's going to try to do is reach out to Celestia Dreamweaver.
Okay, yeah.
And see if he can make contact with her and let her know that, hey, we found your city. It's still here. Do you have any advice for us, any sense of where we should be going? So Checkers is sort of sitting atop the crow's nest, and he's like perched on top of the mast, and he is trying his best to reach out to Celestia, just like, Celestia, we found your city. Do you want it back? No? Can we keep it?
You're not using it.
You're not using it. And seeing if that gets a response.
Okay. Give me a spell casting check.
Okay. And that's
with triple disadvantage.
And Checkers is feeling pretty tired from the exhaustion. So that's
going to
be
is true.
Minus one.
It's to remind you all and to remind the listener that it is, you guys have a bit of exhaustion on your person. I think we've mostly added to our various character sheets, but that is affecting your rolls, your spell DCs, your movement speed, all that good stuff.
So this is a minus two to D20 roll.
Yes.
Ugh. That's only going to be a 13.
You wait, and there's still a lot of chatter kind of down below of asking questions, figuring out what the hell are we supposed to be doing here, going over notes. Probably the burden has already started, you know, carrying library books back up on top of the deck. And at least to you, in your mind, in your experience, the world quiets just a little bit. there's some silence. You're sitting there. And whether or not you want to interpret this as a message, very suddenly, your stomach kind of drops out. Not in a literal, visceral, gory sense, but kind of just drops out from you. And it feels like you are somewhere deep in your guts are being pulled downward. Not in a physical way, not in a oh no, cover your orifices kind of way.
Yeah. My insides.
But in a like, just something is pulling down.
Is it like down to the left, down to the right?
If you had rolled better, maybe you would have gotten a little bit more direction. Again, that's if this is even a message
towards
from her.
Towards the spleen or the appendix?
Right. And remember, Grung Anatomy, is different.
So just kind of continuing on this vein, I'm going to use the Mantle of Still Waters. And one of the properties of that is that I can detect planar portals within a mile radius. So I'm getting a sense that something is pulling me towards the city. Are there any planar portals nearby?
So is this something, and this is not necessarily, I think this is the first time on screen maybe you've used it. But first of all, is this something that Checkers is doing frequently, just to be like, I don't know, is there portals around? Or is it like, oh, now I am deciding I'm gonna check here, you know, to kind of try it out for the first time?
I think he was probably doing it the whole way here in the Deadlands. Just as we were racing away from the arcane storm, as we were crossing over the barren lands, I just like, any portals nearby? No? Cool. All right. But this feels like an appropriate time to see if there's anything going on here.
Do we know what time of day it is?
I think it's early morning. Because we flew all the way through the night.
That's what I thought. I am, once again, as GM, delighted when players decide I'm going to randomly use this thing that you received literally years ago for no real reason other than I think it might be neat. Because within a mile, correct?
Yes, within a mile.
Down below you and a little to the left, depending on how you're oriented, maybe more in front of you. There is a stirring of something. It's faint. And it's faint not because it's far. You know, I'm imagining kind of as long as it's within a mile, you know where it is.
Okay.
But there's something here. Okay. Something below you. Deep below you.
Val! Cass! Self! I think I got something. It's a weird feeling on the inside.
Checkers, we talked about this before.
No, I don't have to poop this time. I use the Mantle of Still Waters. It's telling me to go somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah. We gotta go to the top of the tower first.
Is that where the mantle's telling you to go?
Yes.
I'm gonna roll the inside.
I was gonna say.
Val knows Checkers' yeses, and that is a no.
Yes?
Just happens to, he just ranted about going to a very tall tower, and he's like, I talked to my magic item about it.
And we got it agrees. We have consensus.
2-1.
Well, we have to go there first to prepare ourselves for going down further where the Mantle of Still Waters is telling me to go. Also, Celestial Dreamweaver gave me a weird feeling. It's 3-1, actually.
What did Celestial Dreamweaver say?
This is all just coming from you, though.
You gotta trust me on this.
Before we decide where we're gonna try to go, perhaps we should see if there's anything actually solid down there.
And Selv is going to take a like a clod of dirt from the deck, I guess, and just kind
of
like make.
We don't
like
have a lot of that, Selv.
Wait! Before you throw anything off the side of the ship to potentially alert a city to us. I can't believe this is coming out of my mouth. Maybe we follow Checker's idea.
Yeah.
And go try to touch a tall tower.
Val's argument makes sense.
However.
But I do it anyway.
Be the person that Checkers believes you can be and throw that dirt overboard.
I feel like it's better to have it fall in potentially less populated farmland than a...
You've got it.
And I whip around and I hurl the dirt ball at a section of farmland.
Yeah. Again, you guys wouldn't have made it too far in yet, I think.
I just love imagining that self really baseball pitcher hucks it and it just drops at his feet. Yeah.
Can we have the seeker look for the dirt as it's falling?
I was going to say, like, legit, if you want to have someone track it with a telescope, I will allow that.
Because it's like, can we actually, like, will it hit something and impact it, or is it just going to fall straight through into the crater?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the test.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
I agree with the test.
So, you call up at the seeker and say, hey, watch this. The seeker tracks it with the eyepiece, and it kind of fades even out of your guys' eyesight. But after a few seconds, the seeker says, it hit.
Did it go through and continue below, or did it hit and stop at the ghostly field?
Hit and stopped. Well, hit, stopped, exploded. In like a normal dirt way.
Hey, Captain Livingstone.
Yes. Excuse me. I.
Are there any cloaking capabilities of the Sky Stalker?
Well, truth be told, what with your ability to read all the nonsense posted around, I was kind of hoping that you would tell me if we had those sorts of... We kind of turn it on and it goes.
I, Sophie, forgot that Mal read the entire ship.
Yeah.
But you don't know. Like, it might not have been there. Who knows?
Does Mal know of any cloaking?
There is not. There is no cloaking. There's no Romulan cloaking device on this vessel, unfortunately.
I'm imagining at this point, you know, we're still fairly high up. We've been going in this trajectory for a while. We're still heading towards, like, the middle of the city. And we've been flying, basically, you know, super, super high. There's still, I assume, no clouds in the Deadlands. There's, you know, barely any moisture here. So, and we're kind of approaching now the outsides of the city itself, past all of the farmlands, the outskirts. What do we see?
So, as you fly overhead, the first thing you notice is the giant, unbelievably tall tower, which is very narrow, but somehow very plain. It is almost like a series of pointed, this is going to sound weird, pointed like rectangles that are all kind of aligned into a very strange, very tall object. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, no, nothing is built like this.
Yeah.
Is it almost like those, like, basalt columns?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, except kind of all smushed together into one tower. And again, whether they're, this is just what the outside looks like, or whether they're, it's actually like several dozen individual towers that are next to each other, it's not clear, but they kind of all just keep going up and up and up until they get to a point that is very close to where you guys are hovering, which is, again, hundreds and thousands of feet up in the air.
Before we get too terribly close.
Sure.
Val would like to vibe check the tower, because one of the things that Val is remembering in this moment is the obelisk of Agmar. And that is almost like a sentient tower. And it would be a real big bummer if we just fucking poked the eye of Sauron of this city. So I think, Nathan, Val would like to pull out the liminal looking glass and see if the tower is a sentient creature and detect its surface thoughts.
Okay. If it is its own creature, got it.
I was trying to remember what that object was.
Yeah,
we got a thing. Val's got a thing.
Me too, Coop. Me too, kind of. It's like, what? Remind me, what are you using that for again? Oh, yeah, that's what that magic item does. Val, you look through it, and nothing happens. So it is not a creature.
Okay.
But you definitely do get a little bit of magnification. And with that in mind, it's like, it's kind of reminiscent of those obelisks, or that one obelisk from,
So this could be the tower of a seer of some kind, or like a seer's tower.
I was waiting for it. Yeah. But I mean, it absolutely could be. That's very or it could be maybe some person named Willis perhaps has taken over.
Yeah, but nobody's going to call it that. I mean, anybody, especially even from the city,
I wouldn't. No.
This is the only tower that's this high, correct?
Correct.
All the other towers are much smaller.
Really, the rest of the city, again, is kind of very Agmar, or at least it is in parts. There is a couple of big distinctions. First of all, the iconic walls of the Red City are not present. There are some walls, but they're fairly modest. Especially for a city of this size and importance, they're almost nominal walls where it's like, well, cities have to have walls that are defensible, so we'll put some in, but it's not the kind of stalwart fortress that you guys would be used to for your Pentarchy architecture. But boy, parts of this look really, really familiar. There is a big grand gate that even now you can see again, these tiny motes of things, people, somethings are all congregating at the front. You see a similar big walkway and square, like public square area that Agmar has, where the library is, where the big fairs are, all that stuff. And you see huge fortresses all throughout, dotting the various walls. You see five of them.
Hmm.
You also see kind of what is different. You see all kinds of stuff. It is Agmar on steroids. It has been lived in. It has been expanded upon. You see whole forests. You see whole parks. You see farms and fields in the nearby area. But again, kind of not as much as you would think. But there is nothing else like that big tower right in the middle, which again, you guys would know was kind of a... Its purpose was unclear, but was built by the Pentarchy and was certainly seen as, at minimum, a monument to their power. And, well, Val thinks it looks a little bit like something you've seen before, so it might suggest it had some other uses as well.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, everyone. David here with The Midroll. We hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. If you want more of the Reckless Attack crew, come join the community on Discord. The link is in the show notes of the episode and on our website, recklessattack.com. If you want to support the show, head on over to Patreon, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback series, as well as our new series, Reckless a Snack, where we eat snacks and chat about the question of the day. As always, if you like the show, be sure to tell a friend about it too. Thanks so much for listening, and now, back to the episode.
As we get closer to this tower, the obelisk, whatever it actually is there any background hum or change in like air pressure or something that would like maybe is this thing doing something right now that might be causing all this? And is there any kind of indication either for sound or like, you know, Harry standing up as we get close to it or anything like that to indicate there's power of some kind?
Yeah, nothing physical, but you can always do a detect magic or that kind of thing. But
well, at this point, I'm fairly certain that, yes, the entire city is going to detect his magic.
Probably, yes.
And then as we're kind of over the city, approaching the obelisk, the highest point in the whole city, is there anything notable about the roads or the layout of the city? Because Lorana Moonglove had a very particular type of city design.
Ah, yes.
A rigid city design.
But I'm also imagining the Pentarchy feels like the type of extremely magical civilization where they would, like, make giant runes out of their streets kind of thing.
Again, made the runic road, so, yeah. Yep, makes sense. And I'm going to say that this is all also, a lot of these descriptions are being provided by the Seeker, since the Seeker has been kind of looking around, so describing of like, well, that sure looks like the Ruby Citadel, and, except there's five of them. And the Seeker would point down with you, Cass, and see, like, if you look down there, I think all of these are, at least all these major thoroughfares are all what once was the Runic Road, running all throughout it. It definitely, to your eye, seems fairly lived in. You know, it's not the perfect kind of rigid geometry of things.
It's more organic.
It's a bit more organic, but there's definitely large, probably, this is a little silly maybe to put it to it, but like, imagine like 40% of the city has been kind of taken over by a little bit of rigidity.
Okay.
But there's still enough bits and bobs around the side that aren't public places that are still kind of lived in.
Okay, cool.
Again, this tower feels like an obelisk vibe. I say we don't poke what could be. Checkers, I see you.
But no, I wanna.
That's not a good reason. We should avoid the tower.
The Seeker chimes in, and she says, I'm struggling looking at this place a little bit. It feels like I should know it, but I don't. But based off of what I'm seeing and the city of Agmar, the jail cells are largely in the Ruby Citadel, which is the biggest building. So there's a chance that it could be at the tower, but I couldn't guess what this thing is used for.
Is there like a nameplate on the towers of like, this is Celestia Dreamweaver?
Yeah, or like the Tsar of the Blacks, or like,
you guys would be probably too far up to see something like that.
I think then the only way we're going to get more information is if we get closer to the city.
I don't want to introduce this idea, but Checkers.
Yes?
What if you don't touch the tower?
I promise I won't touch the tower.
Just try to mentally reach out.
I have to be very close to do that is the problem.
You can't touch it.
I won't touch it.
You can't be within touching distance of it.
I promise I won't touch it.
You can't be within mango jumping distance of the tower.
Captain Livingstone, full steam ahead towards the tower.
Aye, Admiral, bringing her around.
Wait, Captain, no! Oh, God, I hate being outranked.
So you guys start to pull in, and once you get a little bit closer to the tower, you start all to see these transparent, we'll call them blobs.
Val immediately is like, Captain, please, full stop. Full stop.
You guys have been just like, I'm imagining like going 500 feet at a time and be like, stop, 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 stop. Okay, a little closer. Stop, 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 stop. So it's been a full 4 hours that you guys have been flying
second
over the
level
city.
Of exhaustion. Like. Yeah.
But yeah, so just as you get to the tower, you just start to see kind of these nondescript, at least from this distance thing, circling the tower, swooping down, sometimes even landing on one of the kind of lower nodules, I guess, of it. Checkers, could you please give me a dexterity saving throw?
With exhaustion.
With exhaustion, please.
A natural one.
No!
I deserve this.
So you all see, Checkers makes a horrid sound. I'm not gonna tell you what you are expressing. I want to see your interpretation of the horrid sound that the Checkers makes. And you all see one of those whitish blobs flapping its way through Checkers' chest.
They under attack by birds.
Translucent incorporeal birds.
And it keeps flying. It has just circled through Checkers. No damage was dealt.
Okay, that felt really bad.
It felt really bad. It felt really bad. But it just kept flying. You know, it just the whole crew was like, oh my gosh, whoa, yeah, capture it if we must. Kill it! And it just flies off And you all kind of get a good look at it, as distracted as you were by the horrid face that Checkers was probably making. And it was kind of bird-shaped, kind of, in like a blobby way, where there's like sort of wings.
Like a fat pigeon?
Kind of, yeah, suggestion of a bird. Like a
LaCroix of a bird.
Yeah, precisely. But no details to it, really. It is, again, just kind of like a balloon animal of a bird, almost. And just flies off. Everyone just is looking at me with the best looks on their faces.
Okay.
Are you okay, Checkers?
No. But keep going. Just give me a minute. I'm going to lie here for a second.
I, Sophie, we cannot fuck with the tower. Val strongly discourages us from touching the tower, going near it, because it does feel like a central defense system, as evidenced by the obelisk in Angmar. When Angmar was under attack, it found a champion and was used for defense.
So it was on your side.
We don't know if this one is on our side.
That was the Seeker said that. Yeah. So it was on your side.
Checkers, I need you to take a moment and really think about where Celestia Dreamweaver is guiding you, regardless of your desire to touch the tower.
Well, when you put it that way, can I just do another check to see if where that planar portal is, or if it's all planar portals? Who knows?
How close to the tower are you guys?
I want to say 1,000 feet away. Like two more stops and starts and we get there. And Checkers just kind of closes his eyes, really focuses his attention on the Mantle of Still Waters, and uses the ability to find all the planar portals within a mile of him.
You know, Val, if I were a reasonable frog, which I'm not, I would have to say that there's something strange going on directly underneath the tower. But I don't know that there's a good way to put this, so I'm just gonna say it. I think one of our sons is a planar portal, specifically that one. And I'm looking at the one that's, like, above us directly. And it definitely wasn't doing that before. I mean, I've been checking pretty often. I even checked it right when we got here, but where we are right now, that sun feels like a portal to me.
So, time out. For Sophie,
mm-hmm.
What's a planar portal?
It's a gateway to another plane. Like when that dragon popped up, when you were kind of helping the dryad out, that was a planar portal. Presumably, depending on kind of the cosmography of like when you're able to see, when you see the shepherd kind of walk through into that kind of the void, you have the kind of blue stars whenever you've seen that. That could be a planar portal.
Does it look any different?
No, it's the same suns that you've seen your whole life.
Is this portal beneath us a portal to the portal above us, and that's why we can now detect the portal in the sun?
I suspect the only way we're going to find out is if we touch the tower.
I don't think we need to touch the tower. If anything, we need to avoid the tower and go into a planar portal beneath the tower.
That seems a lot more risky than touching the tower.
That leads to the sun. I'm only saying that because if we go through a portal that leads to the sun.
One of the suns.
Just want to full on, just remind you all the gravity of the situation. A portal that goes to the sun.
I have something that I think we don't have to go through the portal.
I mean, it's not like, well, I suppose we could go at night.
Just send Junior. Oh, wait.
Boo. I'm going to summon Junior right now.
Good. Give me 3 spellcasting checks.
Okay. Jeez. With exhaustion, too.
With exhaustion.
Wait, do you say that you're doing this out loud?
Absolutely.
Val will give Checkers guidance.
Oh, thank you. These are all terrible. So, in my attempt to find my familiar, I have rolled a 16, a 14, and a 12.
Okay. Just remind me, when you do summon him, what usually happens when you are kind of finding your familiar?
Checkers is going to take off his tricorn hat and just rummage around inside of it like there's nothing in my hat, nothing up my sleeves. And here's Junior.
The whole crew is like rapt attention. They have never seen this happen before. So sick, new magic trick. And you all see, maybe Checkers, I don't know if Checkers has done this before, just to show off. Checkers, your hand goes in and your hand grabs onto something in the way that it usually does. So like, and then Junior's there.
Yeah.
And then you pull Junior out and Junior's in your hand. And you all see his hand stuck in his hat. And you pull at it.
Huh.
Haha, good mime, Checkers. That's a fun trick.
Hang on, no, there's something in here, I promise.
And you're just pulling at it. And it must be, because that's how this trick works, right? And and you've done this enough times where it's like, you know, even if Junior isn't like there and croaking in your hand, this is what this is what this feels like.
Junior could be croaking in your hand.
You strain and strain and strain, and you are almost able to get it kind of to the rim of the hat, essentially.
Casgrain, come over here. Help me pull.
And do you?
I'll grab onto the hat, I think. Yeah, I'll hold onto the hat side.
Perfect.
So that will cast guidance.
one of you, again, Checkers is kind of just like holding onto his own wrist, I'm imagining, and just throwing all of his froggy weight into it. You see the two Craigs kind of talk amongst themselves and they go behind Checkers to like help and yank behind you. You know, they're used to jumping in when help is needed.
Perfect.
And after a few moments, Checkers, you punch the brim of your hat, essentially.
Yeah.
As this, you thought, junior sized lump is sucked back to the hat.
Oh, no.
I guess.
And rather than pay attention to literally anything else that's going on, Checkers is going to spend the rest of the trip just trying to get Junior, poor Junior, out of this hat.
So, unfortunately, I think we've also exhausted all the information that we can get at this altitude and distance from the city. And Checkers, Admiral Captain Checkers, Val, Selv, if you are amenable, I think it's time that we find somewhere to moor the ship. And I think it's time we step into the city ourselves.
I'm going to address this to the group, but also kind of mostly towards the Seeker.
Can you see any type of shimmer that would indicate a barrier of some kind around the city? Maybe something that if we descended through, we would end up being like the rest of the city.
Or like the protective barrier over Agmar?
Yes, exactly like that.
Everyone can roll for perception. I'm imagining that Self says this like kind of harrowing thing of like, oh God, what if we pass through this invisible barrier and are turned to ghosts, essentially? And everyone's just like, their eyes just kind of like slowly pan. The entire crew, the Joes and the Tims and Captain
look. The city still looks translucent, so we obviously have not gone through that barrier yet.
And the minus two.
Kaskrin with a 22.
Selv with a 19.
Val with a 12.
Checkers with an 18. Mango with a 20.
No matter how high the frogs or dwarves among you roll, you don't see anything.
I think at this point, we descend from where we are, take the ropes down, and see if the ghost people of the city have any reaction to our presence.
Captain, how far will those ropes and harnesses allow us to descend?
1,000 feet.
Ooh.
I didn't skimp on the ropes.
I appreciate that.
Kaskrin will kind of start getting ready and getting the crew ready and everyone like with the harnesses and everything as the ship slowly starts to descend. And I mean like pretty slowly, because like in the event that there is a barrier, like we're not crashing into that thing. But I'm imagining like we're descending without obstacle.
Who would pick on? Yeah. Admiral Captain, you bear responsibility for what's about to happen.
Great.
Evens or odds?
Evens.
Okay. Roll me a d20.
Four.
You guys start descending. luckily from 1,000 feet away, you are not near the base of this tower. And just to be clear, you guys are landing in kind of a main thoroughfare kind of area. Are you landing on top of a building? What's your hopeful destination?
I think on top of a building might not be bad.
Yeah, I like that idea. So we'll
be a good idea.
We'll descend the ropes and head towards the top of a flat building.
Yeah, like a Roman style building.
Yeah, like a one story building.
Got it. The descent continues. Controlled. Things are disciplined. Probably most of the living members of the crew are huddled near the mast, not near the edges. But you go down. And down and down. Until you're 1,000-ish feet above your chosen building. We'll say it is maybe a block or two off of kind of one of the main stretches. Again, very familiar to you guys from being in Agmar. This is very reminiscent to the road that would lead maybe to the Waveless Lake.
And the four of us?
Five with Mango.
Yes.
Okay.
You were asking about
the bones.
The bones, I think, have to stay with the ship to make sure that...
That was the idea, was that you were bringing the bones along, A, just because they're useful, but so that they would ensure no mutinies happen in this even worse situation than you could have imagined.
Val knows the Tims would never leave.
Yes. Sure.
Fellow engineer. Captain Livingstone? Who knows?
Yes.
Also, like, you control the ship now, basically.
Yeah, that elemental's bound to me, Well, I can leave with this ship.
Yes, precisely.
And so we'll descend down the ropes.
Zip, into the city proper.
Zip.
You land, first of all. And I will say that there is the end of the rope is resting on the roof, coiled up.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do what I've been wanting to do this whole time. And Checkers is going to reach out a little froggy hand and place it on the roof of this building and touch it.
It is, if you closed your eyes and didn't take in the horrid visage of the place around you and its kind of sheer alienness, it would feel 93% the way you think it should. There's resistance there. Your hand firmly touches this, we'll say kind of like a dirt or gravelly roof of this square building. And again, just something about it is a little off, but it's there. It's solid. You can press up against it.
The Checkers will finally release the harness and fully stand on the roof of this building and just see if he dies, but then beckon everyone else to come down.
No death. No death.
All right. I'll drop the rest of the way. Land.
And as we're making our way onto this roof, does the city react to us at all?
Are you going to poke your head out?
Yeah. I think at this point, I am going to look over the roof after I've undone my harness, taken a second to gather myself, looked around the city, and then finally look down at the street below. I want to see if they see us.
Presumably, while everyone is helping get Mango out of the 6 harnesses he probably had to wear for this descent, assuming you're bringing Mango with you.
Of course.
You peer over this rooftop. And you look, and again, you're kind of one block removed from a main thoroughfare. But you can still see that the street is filled with humanoid-sized things. They are busily milling around completely noiselessly. There is no sound in this place. Each of them are, don't remember exactly what we settled on, and I hesitate to call them balloon animal shapes of people. But they are all similarly just this, like almost a blob
big
shape.
Big Hero 6?
Kind of, yes. It is like Baymax, which is not as terrifying as I'd hope. but you get what
evil
I mean.
Evil Baymax. He got
yes.
scary.
Yeah.
And there's no limbs moving. There's no ambulation. They're just gliding. Doors open. These things pass each other. They are different heights, different sizes. But they're all the same transparent opaqueness, I guess, as every building around you. Except every once in a while, you notice some are different. There's a couple every once in a while who are a little bit sharper, have a little bit more there to them, or almost brighter, just dotted throughout the landscape. They're still evil Baymax. I will come up with a better term. And they're also kind of going through their days doing something. Finally, as you're doing recon, and by the way, none of these whatevers have reacted to your ship whatsoever. Nothing. Eventually, you see creatures doing something. The first, really, to be doing something identifiable. And these are the brightest of the individuals that you have seen thus far. And they are very noticeable because they are marching. Because you see a small patrol of six who are dressed in, we'll say, familiar armors. They do not have skull plates, but otherwise are identifiably in plate armor that looks very Pentarchy-y. They're marching through, and you hear one of its number yell out an order. Out of the way! Out of the way! Coming through! You there! Stop! What have you got in that bag? And the group approaches one of these nondescript blobs and goes through a motion of opening a bag, checking it, throwing it back. Move along! And they go. Patrol keeps moving. It seems to you that this is a busy city square filled with something that is not mortal. And that is where we will end things this week. See you all next time.
The questions! The concerns!
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. I'll look through the liminal looking glass and see if there's a sentient creature in that hat.
Does it work through? 30 feet. Does it work through
objects?
Yeah, objects. And is Junior's? Is he sentient?
Yeah, of course he's sentient.
Right?
His intelligence of one. I don't think
it
he answered the question.
It doesn't say anything about being blocked.
If you so Val just snaps up just to see what she can see. How does an answer of maybe fit for you? It's not yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not no.
Is it more that it is a question of sentience or a question of
creature?
Which plane is this creature
it's,
on?
It's less of sentience and more of where is this thing fully here or okay. not.